is gratefulness. Is gratefulness. Keep it going, keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. Has done great things for us. If you are hearing me, he is doing great things for you. If you can understand me, he is doing great things for you. If you are present here today, he is doing great things for you. If you are online and able to connect, he is doing great things for you. And this is why I'm grateful, because everybody that is hearing the sound of my voice has made it to 2021. Amen. Amen. We just got done with announcements about how some of us didn't make it. I have a situation in my personal life where a friend of mine's father might not make it past the end of this service. And I'm saying that because we're here and we're breathing in our church building in 2021, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of a government who has actively said, we don't want you to go to church. And we are here. Those of us that are here and those of us that are online, amen. Thank God that we have expanded our reach. Thank God that we still find ways to glorify him among the people so that the people may glorify him. And we are here in 2021. I am grateful and thankful for this. I almost just wanted to say that might just be the sermon right there. Just meditate on what was sung and just leave it there. But I know that the Lord has a supporting word for us today. So before that, I want to begin in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We're grateful, God, for all the things that you have done for us, God. And this is why we want to be a witness for you and to let our light shine, because we are grateful for what you have done for us. God, we do not stand here high and mighty with chest poked out, saying we deserve to be here. God, we know that some of us were already social distancing and still got the virus. Some of us were wearing masks and staying 6 feet apart, and maybe that one time that the virus still found its way to some of us. But God, you have spared some of us, God. Not because we were so good, not because we were so careful, not because we were so safe, but God, because you continue to love us and keep us, God. Lord, we thank you for all of the members present, God, and the members online, Lord, who are present in spirit, which is even more important than being present in person, God. We thank you, God. We thank you for those who are not able to be with us for whatever reason, God. We ask that you continue to bless them. Lord, we have lots of bereaved hearts, Lord. We ask that you bless them as well. But God, we're asking that in this word, God, that you would just speak to us, Lord. Help us to set the tone right for 2021, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are coming from the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. And once you're at the book of Matthew, please turn to the 5th chapter. Please turn to the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew. And we will begin at the 13th verse through the 16th verse. We have the words printed on the screen for those that are unable to find it. However, I always encourage you to read your own Bibles. You do not have these screens every day of the week, so it should be a habit to be reading your Bibles. Amen. We are blessed with the Word of God. I remember hearing a story about missionaries in China, and they have to actually memorize the entire Word of God because they're not allowed to have the very Bibles that you have. Memorize it. So let us take heed to this privilege and use our Bibles. The book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, I'll start at the 13th verse. I will be reading out of the Christian Standard Bible. You will find similar words printed in your text. The book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, 13th through 16th verses read as follows. It says, "You are the salt of the earth." Jesus is talking. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden." Verse 15, "No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house." Amen. Are having a little technical difficulty here. This is all right. Again, this is why I say have your own Bibles. Never know what happens. "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." The title for this sermon today is "Good for Nothing." Good for nothing. When you think of a blessing, what do you think of? Most of us would mention something like our family. Having those who loves us is a blessing. Having good health is a blessing. Having our church family is a blessing. And St. John said amen to that. Being saved is a blessing. Amen. Having money, food, clothes, and other such things in life is a blessing. But why is it a blessing? I want to suggest to you that it is because it is good for something. It's useful. The thing that you are calling a blessing is in some way, somehow, beneficial. There's something good for you in having your family. You benefit by having good physical and spiritual health. If money, clothes, and food are blessings, they are somehow good to you or for you. They are useful. They are good for something. Have you ever had one of those blessings that then became useless? Maybe that job was a blessing at first, but you know, now your boss is tripping. And the money that you're making ain't enough. Maybe that friend was a blessing at first, but they did some stuff, and they're no longer the blessing you thought they were. Why am I saying this? I say this because we, the church, are one of God's greatest blessings to this earth. Let me be specific. St. John, we are God's blessing to this neighborhood. But this neighborhood will only see us as a blessing as long as we are useful to them. We are a blessing if we are somehow beneficial to them. We know that God made us good, but we don't want to be good for nothing. So the question I want to bring to you today is this: how can we become useless? How can we become useless? We don't want to be good for nothing. We want to be good for something. So how can we become useless? Jesus speaks on this very subject in Matthew 5, on his famous Sermon on the Mount. He lists what we call the Beatitudes. Now, some people say that the Beatitudes are like be-attitudes, or attitudes that we are supposed to be. Now, I like that, but what the Beatitudes are really getting at is declaring what is this word blessed. The word for blessed that Jesus gives, gives off the sense of happy, fortunate, privileged. Our non-church friends might use the word lucky. Jesus is talking about people who, in a sense, have it going on. But the interesting thing about this is who he applies this term to. Who is Jesus calling blessed? Verse 3, the poor in spirit. Verse 4, the ones who mourn. Verse 5, the humble. Verse 6, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Verse 7, the merciful. Verse 8, the pure in heart. Verse 9, the peacemakers. Verse 10, the persecuted. Do you notice something here? These are normally people that would not be considered blessed. These are normally the people that have to sacrifice something or go through something or realize they need something. Or those who have to suppress their natural desires. Jesus is saying that even though the world doesn't recognize these people like they should, they are blessed in the kingdom of God. These types of people who realize their need for Jesus and seek him and follow him, these are the blessed ones. And each verse shows how God is blessing them. Somebody might be feeling poor in spirit today. Somebody is being merciful at great cost to themselves today. Somebody might even be going through it because they made the decision to follow God. But know this, you are blessed right now. You are blessed in your affliction. You are blessed in your struggle. Don't get me wrong. God will supply all of your needs. You will get the blessing that He has already prepared for you. But just know that even before the needs get supplied, you are blessed right now. So be blessed. God loves and blesses us because He is a loving, gracious, and good God, but He also blesses us so that we can bless others. This is why Jesus goes into this metaphor in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. Now, I know some of y'all don't like a lot of salt in your food. I like salt in my food. But this is a good thing. Salt was a preservative. That means before they had refrigerators and freezers, before they had saran wrap and Tupperware, salt was the way to keep your food from getting spoiled. But in this passage, Jesus focuses more on another use of salt, one that we are familiar with today. Salt was also the way to enhance the flavor of the food. I don't know about you, but it seems like salt is good for something. Why is Jesus putting this together? Why is He saying it like this? The big point that Jesus is making is this. We are salt to the world when we are blessed like this. Y'all see that? Blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who persecute. When we are blessed like this, we are the salt to the world. We are the salt of the earth. Our desire for God, our mercy, our endurance through persecution, this is what makes us salty. This is what makes us flavor our families and jobs and communities. Just by being around us, others should taste better. What do I mean? Because we are there, others should recognize that they are poor in spirit. Because we are there, others can mourn a little easier. Because we are there, we can bring out the humility in others. Because of what the Spirit of God is doing in us, we flavor our various spheres of influence. We ought to bring out the best in others and the world we live in. We are good for something. That said, if salt loses its taste, there's no point to keeping it. It's useless. It's lost the essential part of what it is, its saltiness. And this is what Jesus is saying in verse 13. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt should lose its taste, how could it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Nobody needs salt that doesn't act like salt. It's good for nothing. St. John, nobody needs blessings that don't act like blessings. If we're no longer humble, if we no longer hunger and thirst for righteousness, if we are no longer peacemakers, then we lose what makes us different. We lose what makes us a blessing, what makes us flavor our families, our jobs, 49th Street. If we no longer taste the way that God made us, then why are we here? Because to them, we are good for nothing. Okay, Pastor James, I get it. We should avoid that. But again, the original question was, how does that happen? How does salt become tasteless and therefore useless? The first of two ways we're going to talk about today is by mixing. Mixing. I'm not going to get too deep into chemistry. But even the ancient Jews knew that when salt mixes with other materials, over time, it loses its saltiness. Because it is mixed with other compounds, the salt can no longer season food. If it's mixed in with some mineral or some metal or some other type of foreign object, the salt is no longer good for seasoning or preservation or anything, really. It's trash. You throw it out. Now, for my scholars, if you really want to get technical about it, when salt is mixed, it is no longer salt. Because it is mixed, salt is useless and good for nothing. St. John, we can be as blessed as we want. We can mourn and be humble and be peacemakers, but if we're mixed with other materials, we will become tasteless. Our flavor enhancement abilities will be neutralized, will be useless. Some of us are extremely empathetic. We care about others. We'll mourn with them. Some of us might even have the gift of mercy. We'll mourn with them. We care for them. But if we are always lying to people, who's going to believe us? Some of us know how to endure trials and tribulations and even persevere under persecution. But if we're always judgmental of folk, who wants to ask us for advice? St. John, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the greatest flavor ever. But if our gospel is mixed with politics, with agendas, with distractions, with gimmicks, we will be useless to this community. We will be good, but we will be good for nothing. How can we check this? How can we check this? Just look around. Are we bringing out the best in others? Are others glad because we are there? Are we flavoring them? Are we, as our church motto says, glorifying God among the people so that the people may glorify God? Or is it the other way around? Are we being neutralized? Are we compromising our moral positions and generally becoming less of a blessing to our community? Have we lost our flavor? Now, in addition to salt, Jesus also used the metaphor of light. Now, why is light good? Light is good not only because you can see it, but mainly because you can see everything else by it. Let me give you an example. I go to work before sunrise. So, you know, when I get up, it's dark. It's dark. And generally, my lovely wife Felicia is still asleep. Now, I don't want to wake her up by turning on the light so it stays dark. The problem is, I've got to brush my teeth, wash my face, and get dressed, all in the dark. Now, if you've tried that, you know that's real tough to do. Trying to pour the toothpaste, and is it pouring on the toothbrush, or did I miss it, or did I pick up the right toothbrush? Somebody said too much information. It's tough to do when it's pitch black. So to solve that, I installed some light dimmers in the room so I could control the amount of light I could see. I could control the amount of light so that I could see what I was doing and do it correctly without waking Felicia up. And I'm telling you from personal experience, you do not realize how much of a blessing it is to have that light until you don't have it. If you ask me, the light was good for something. St. John, God is calling us to be the light, not simply so that people can look at the light, not so that people can ooh and ah at the light, but so that we can show clearly what's really going on. We are to expose the good and the bad. We are to show people the error of their ways. But most importantly, we are here to show people the path to Jesus Christ. We are here to show the will of God and what heaven on earth looks like. We are here to be light to our families, our friends, our jobs, and even our communities. So how can light be neutralized? How can light not do what it's supposed to do? How can light be good for nothing? We talked about by mixing. The second way is by masking. The only way for light to shine and not illuminate is to mask it. The only way light is good for nothing is if you hide it. Now, I don't know how many of you relate with me on this, but one of my biggest pet peeves is leaving the light on in a room and ain't nobody using it. Part of the reason is because it's a waste of electricity. But mainly it's because a hidden, covered up, blocked, masked light is good for nothing. It's not helping light up anything that I need. Light is useful when it shines where it is needed and when it is high enough to light up the area that needs it. Look at what Jesus says in verse 14 through 16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." God gives us influence. What, you don't think you have any? Guess what? By publicly declaring yourself to be a Christian, you already have influence. Let me say it like this. People are watching you, whether you like it or not. Whether you're an officer of the church or not. Whether you're a celebrity and got a huge Instagram following or not. Whether you're a boss or not. Whether you have a lot of friends or not. You are already the city on the hill. You are already the lamp in the house. You are already a blessing to the world. So how do you become a useless blessing? How do you become good for nothing? Just mask it. Hide the light of being a Christian under the light of, under the mask of being a good person. Hide the light of your testimonies under the mask of, I'm tough and I just know how to get through things. Hide the gospel under the mask of, well, it's okay to do what you want to do. Hide the work of the Spirit of God in your life under the mask of self-improvement and getting yourself right in 2021. St. John, hide evangelism under the mask of, let's just do nice things for the community without making them mad. Or even worse, let's just not do anything at all. If we want to mask, or if we want to become useless, just mask what makes us blessed. Don't be merciful. Don't resolve conflicts. Stop talking so much to others about how we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Don't have any effect on anyone. Don't glorify God among the people so that the people may glorify God. You know, some people might say it in this phrase, live and let live. Light is good, but if it's masked, it's good for nothing. But Jesus was the epitome of salt and light. Jesus flavored everything and lit the world up. Jesus influenced others to follow the ways of God, and he exposed mankind's need for him. However, they didn't like salt in their food. They didn't like the light in their house. In fact, they beat him and dragged him to a hill called Calvary and crucified him on a cross. They killed Jesus like he was good for nothing. But Jesus rose up that early Sunday morning with all power in his hand. They couldn't throw the salt out. They couldn't hide the light forever. Because of Jesus, God works in us through his Spirit to be salt and light, just like Jesus. Jesus was blessed, is blessed, and forever will be blessed. And he is a blessing to all who receive him as Lord and Savior. So as I close, if there's anything I could leave you with, it is a common phrase that we say all the time. Be blessed. Be blessed. I want to slow down here for a minute as the music comes. Y'all realize that all we have to do is simply be blessed? All we have to do is simply be the salt, be the light that we were created to be. See, God is not saying we are blessed because of what we do for Christ. We are blessed because of who we are in Christ. Let me say that again. God is not saying that we are blessed because of what we do for Christ. That's important. We want to do things for Christ. We want to follow his will. We want to do that. But that is not the reason why we are blessed, because we are not based, our salvation, our worth is not based on what we do. We are blessed because of who we are in Christ. In order to be useful, in order to be good for something, we just need to be the blessing that the Spirit is forming us to be. Be blessed. Don't mix and lose your flavor. Don't mask your light. Don't be good for nothing. In 2021, if we want to be useful, if we want to be good for something, realize that as long as you are in Christ, you already are. Just be who God created you to be. Just be blessed.